Welcome to Sunday School today. Hope you've had a good week. It's been a beautiful week weather-wise. And we're thankful again for the opportunity to be together today here in the Lord's house. As we conclude today our study on forgiveness, there's no end to it really as far as studying and all that, but time runs out. And so this will be our last day today. We're speaking on the subject of forgiveness. Brother Brian will be speaking next week as we start another quarter. But we're glad to have you today, and I encourage you today, take your Bibles once again, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 today. Verse 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verse 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Once again, maybe read these words together, verse 14 and verse 15 out loud. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words of Jesus. We thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, Lord, that gives us truth, Lord, that we might apply to our lives every day. We thank you, Lord, for this subject. We talked about forgiveness. We thank you for the many examples we've looked at from your word. And, gosh, Lord, there's many more besides the one we looked at. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, clarity, maybe, Lord, of what forgiveness is about a little bit. And, God, how we need to practice it as your children because you have forgiven us. Father, bless your word now to our hearts and our lives today. God, may your people today be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, we talked about encouragement. We talked about forgiveness. And we've given examples of forgiveness throughout the scriptures. We talked about how God, first of all, forgave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He clothed them. He forgave them of their sins, what they did. We also talked about Esau and Jacob. Esau forgave Jacob. We talked about how Joseph forgave his brothers. We talked about also how the father forgave the prodigal son. Also how Jesus forgave the sinful woman. Jesus forgave also the publican on the cross. We talked about also how the woman in adultery was forgiven by Jesus. Others, we talked about Jesus on the cross. When he hanged there, he said, "Father, forgive them. Well, they know not what they do." We talked about Stephen as he was being stoned on the cross. He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And the list goes on and on, how forgiveness is so important in our lives. I want to convey this thought to myself and to you today. First of all, that forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. Don't forget that. We don't forgive just because we want to. We won't forgive just because it's our habit. We have to make a decision to forgive. And it's very important that we think about that today when we're trying to conclude the subject of forgiveness. Now, take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 this morning. Let's look at these verses here. Verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying," that is Jesus, "in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We see in verse 4, Jesus said, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Again, forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's invention. God forgave first. He forgave Adam and Eve. God forgave you. He forgave me. We see God's invention of forgiveness comes to a world of people who are unfair to each other and treat each other wrong. God knew that's the way we would be because of our nature, our Adamic nature. And so God gives us this thing of forgiveness. He began by forgiving us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God's forgiven you? I am. I'm glad that He began that in my life and helps me to see that I ought also to forgive because of what He's done for me. He invites us to all forgive one another. And here in the Lord's Prayer, we find, the model prayer, I should say, we find He reminds us that our lives should be characterized by this thing of forgiveness in our lives every day. Forgiveness is a hard thing to do sometimes because sometimes the sin that has been damaged to us, things that have been done to us, is hard to forgive because it's been so damaging to us. It's affected us in a very negative way. Therefore, forgiveness sometimes is very hard to do. It's very hard to do. But remember, forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision we have to make. Now, in review some, and also closing out this subject today, first of all, we see that forgiveness is needed. Forgiveness is needed. We know that forgiveness exists. Why does forgiveness exist? Forgiveness exists because sin exists. Because of sin, there has to be forgiveness. There is forgiveness in this life. We see that forgiveness is necessary because sin so powerfully affects our lives. Sin affects every one of us in many ways. We see, first of all, we see physically, sin will affect us. Sin will get these bodies to where they don't function right. It will allow sin to get in our life. It affects us physically. Sometimes depression, sometimes all kinds of things happen to us because of sin in our life. It causes our health problems. Blood pressure goes high. All kinds of things can take place in our life because of sin, how it affects us in our lives. So we see that sin is very powerful when it comes to affecting us physically. It also affects us mentally, how we think. Sometimes we think wrong because of sin in our life. Sin affects us mentally. We just don't think the way we ought to think when we're affected by sin. Sin is very powerful. It's very powerful in our life. Also emotionally, sin will affect us emotionally. The way we respond to people, the way we act around your children or your coworkers or whoever, if sin is in your life, you're going to be affected emotionally. You're not going to be yourself because of sin. And also, last but certainly not least, sin will affect us spiritually. It affects us spiritually. First of all, people that are wrapped up in sin don't even know Christ as Savior. And then we that are Christians, it does affect us spiritually also. When sin is in our life, we're not what we ought to be for God. We're not what we ought to be for other people that are saved also. So we see that sin is a very powerful thing in our life, and it does affect us in many, many ways. So we see sin, forgiveness is needed. Forgiveness is needed in my life. Forgiveness is needed in your life as individuals. Also, we see that sin is real. Turn to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. We know that sin is real. Look at verse number 12. A very familiar verse. Wherefore, as by one man, notice what? Sin entered into what? The world. For by one man, sin entered into the world. So we see here that sin is real. Now, because sin is in the world, you and I are in the world, aren't we? Therefore, sin will get in us. It will get in us as individuals. I mean, you know, There's no way about it. There's no way around it, so to speak. Because we're living in a sinful world, sin will get in us. It's going to affect us because we're around it every day, aren't we? Every day you're around sin in some way or the other. Sin is real. And we see here because of that, we have to be careful about this thing of forgiveness. Not only is sin real, but sin is very destructive. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. You have seen, and I've seen too, sin, because of sin, people's lives been taken. People's lives have been taken because of sin. Sin is very destructive. It's very destructive. Now, two things, well, many things, but two things in particular that sin does. First of all, sin breaks our communion with God. When sin is in our life, we can't be in fellowship with God. It's impossible. Sin will break our communication with God. Not only that, sin will also destroy our relationship with other people. Sin can destroy our relationship with other people. It won't be what it could be if there's no sin between us. So we see that sin is very destructive in our lives. Therefore, we have to guard about these things in our life. See, sin, again, the only way that our communication with God and the only way that our relationship with other people can be complete is through forgiveness many times in our life because of sin. Sin. Forgiveness enables us to have a relationship with God and also a relationship with each other. Forgiveness is the key. It breaks the cycle. You know, of sin, what sin can do and what sin will do. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. And I'm thankful today that God forgives me. I'm thankful today that I have been forgiven. And therefore, if I know that, I should also forgive. Not only is sin real and sin is destructive, but God takes sin very seriously. He takes sin very seriously. We see in Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 12, the latter part of that verse. It says, for by one man sin unto the world, and notice, and what by sin? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God takes sin seriously. He takes it very seriously in our lives. God is merciful. Thank God for that. God is forgiven, isn't he? But God will not tolerate sin. He will not tolerate sin in our lives. And therefore, we see sin is harmful. It's very harmful. And we also see that it demands God's judgment. And that is sin. It demands God's judgment. Now, that is in all ages, and from the beginning of time to today and to right on till Jesus comes, sin will be judged. Sin will be judged. And we see even in the age we live as believers, we are required by God to confess our sins. Even as a saved sinner, we still are to confess our sins. And we'll talk about that a little later on. But we see that God takes sin seriously. Sin is needed. Forgiveness is needed. We see that sin is real. It's destructive. And God takes it seriously. That is the thing of sin in our lives. Now, we notice also, not only is forgiveness needed, but forgiveness is possible. I'm so glad today that God in heaven knows us. I'm so glad today that God in heaven will forgive us when we ask him to. Aren't you? I'm so glad that forgiveness is possible. It's possible. Can you imagine today if judgment of sin were the only alternative? If judgment of our sin was the only alternative, where would you be? Where would I be? We wouldn't be alive today. We wouldn't be alive today. Well, where we'd be, most of us would be in the lake of fire. But I'm thankful today to know that God forgives. He doesn't just judge us. He forgives us when we do wrong. He forgives us when we do wrong. I'm thankful for that every day of my life because of his forgiveness. Also, if vengeance were the only offense, was the only option of offense in our life, just to get back, if that were true, we would forever remain separated from our Creator. We'd be separated from him because of what he's done. So we see here that forgiveness is very, very, very possible. I thank God for that. It's possible for our lives. Forgiveness does not erase the past, okay? But it helps us to be able to live in the future, a different time, a different life. I'm thankful today to know that. God desires forgiveness. God does not want to judge us. God wants to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad that God's that way? I am. I'm glad that he don't want to judge the world, but he will because of sin. But that's not his desire. His desire is to forgive everybody. God, the world does not see that. God desires forgiveness. Turn to Psalms chapter 103. Psalm 103. God desires forgiveness. Psalm 103, look at verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Thank God for that. Amen. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Mercy that was great and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. Thank God for that. Mercy. His mercy is gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse number 9, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Every Christian should say amen to that. He has not. He has not dealt with us that way. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. Verse 12, I like this verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, that God desires forgiveness. Though our actions sometimes deserve judgment, God always desires to be merciful. He always desires to be merciful to you and I. I'm thankful that we serve a merciful God. We have a merciful God that desires to forgive. He desires to forgive us of all that we do. Jesus made forgiving possible. Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended His love towards us, and that while Christ died for our sins, Christ died for my sins, He died for your sins. Because of that, we see forgiveness. Jesus made forgiveness possible. We see throughout the New Testament, as we look at it, God desires to express forgiveness in the life and also the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. He shows us forgiveness in His Son. He expresses that throughout the whole New Testament as we look at it and see it today. So we see that forgiveness is possible. I'm thankful tonight, today, to know that forgiveness is possible. Turn over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, if I can find it here. Verse 13, the Bible says this, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the what? Forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, we see, is possible. Forgiveness is available. Forgiveness, not judgment, is the final word with God. Forgiveness. I want to forgive you. If I can't forgive you, I'll have to judge you. But I want to forgive you. It's my desire to forgive you. Everybody. Forgiving love is made possible, though, for only a few. Do you know that? The forgiving love of God is only made possible for just a few people. It's available to everybody, but it's not possible except to some people. His love. Forgiving love is possible for those who know they are not good. Do you realize that? People that think they're good, God cannot forgive because they don't realize they're bad. It's only until we realize that we're not good, that's when God will forgive us. That's when it's possible for Him to forgive us. We have to recognize, first of all, that we are not good. There's something wrong with me. There's something in me that should not be. My actions, what I say, what I do is not always right. I'm not always good. So we see here that forgiving love is a possibility only for those who realize that they are not good. They're not good. Also, this kind of forgiving love is possible only for those who feel themselves a need of God's mercy. Needing God's mercy. There's not a one of us in this room today that do not need God's mercy. Even though we're saved, we still need the mercy of God. For those out there in the world that are lost, they need God's mercy too. They need to be saved. They're lost. But only we see forgiving love is a possibility for those who realize they're not good and those again that are in need of God's mercy. And lastly, also, we see forgiving love is a possibility for those who feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their lives by the teaching, by the preaching of the Word of God. I'm so glad today to know that the Word of God is quick, is powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm so glad today to know that the Word of God today has the same power it's always had. It changes not. I'm so glad today to know that as I was growing up in a Sunday school in a church, that the Word of God was taught to me and preached to me. And the Spirit of God used those words of God to convict me in my life and help me to realize I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. That's what the world needs today, folks, is the convicting power of the Spirit of God in their lives upon the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to change this world. The only thing that's going to change this world is the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So we see forgiving love is only a possibility for some people. Those who realize they're not good, they need God's mercy, and also being convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad today to know that when we as children of God, even as children of God, when we go out into the world, we're out in our life doing things, when we do something wrong, not on purpose maybe, the Spirit of God will convict us and help us to realize we've done wrong. I'm so glad for that. That way I don't keep on doing wrong in my life and doing what I should not do. But I'm convicted. I'm drawn to God because of His love. That's a measure that God loves us, folks. It's not that God hates us, but God loves us. And He wants us to live right and be right. So we see here, forgiveness is available. Thank God today, forgiveness is still available today in 2017. It's still available. Not only is forgiveness available, but we see that God's forgiveness is unconditional. God's forgiveness is unconditional. God loves us in spite of us. He forgives us in spite of us. What we are, what we do, He will forgive us. He will forgive us. We see that God's forgiveness comes from a heart, a big heart. A heart, first of all, that does not demand anything for itself. He's not looking at something for Himself. He's looking at something for you, something for me. God is, and forgiving us. We also say that it comes from a heart that is completely empty of self-seeking. He's not seeking something for God Himself. He's seeking something for you and for me. So we see that God's forgiveness is unconditional. I'm glad today to know that it is today. It is this forgiveness, that is God's forgiveness, that we need to practice in our daily life. Our daily life is God's forgiveness. Now, the flesh can't do this. Only God in us can do this. We need to practice this kind of forgiveness. God's forgiveness, again, is unconditional. Now notice, God's forgiveness in us, it enables us, first of all, to step over all our arguments and say, in saying that forgiveness is unwise, it's unhealthy, it's impractical. You say, Brother Heath, I would never say that. Well, you may not, but some people do. Why do I have to forgive? You know, why should I forgive? You see, if we think about God's forgiveness, well, we'll understand why we should forgive and all these other issues that we may be facing in life. Also, we see God's forgiveness challenges us to step over all our needs for gratitude or maybe some compliments that people should make to us. We forget about those things when we look at God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Also, God's forgiveness, it demands of me that I step over the part of my heart that's been wounded and my feelings been hurt and all that stuff. I had to forget all that when I look at God's forgiveness. And that's the way I should forgive. Don't worry about your heart being hurt, your heart being broken and all these things, but we need to realize we need to forgive unconditionally, like God does. He does. And only God can help us to be that way. Now, turn over to 1 John. Forgiveness is a what? A decision. Say it. Forgiveness is a what? Decision. Forgiveness is a decision. Now, I said a while ago that we as Christians live in a world of sin. And because we live in a world of sin, we're going to sin. We're going to come short. And I'm grateful for these verses right here we're going to read. And preachers talked about them a lot, and we have too, and it's very good verses to have. But I want to make some comments about these things today. In 1 John chapter number 1, I want to look at verse number 8, 9, and 10. These are verses we quote a lot. We're talking about forgiveness, okay, and how we ought to forgive and how we ought to ask for forgiveness and all this. Now, let's look, first of all, here in verse number 9, verse number 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you believe that? If we say we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need not deceive ourselves or excuse our sins, folks. The fact is, Christians are sinners. Amen? Christians are sinners. And we need to recognize that, folks. It's not just people out there in the world are sinners. Christians are sinners too. We all are sinners. And we say we're not, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we have to recognize that today. We all are sinners. We sin every day. We come short every day. You see, so we need not deceive ourselves. The Christian life is a life that is a life of continual repentance. A continual repentance, the Christian life is. We have to continue to repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us. Also, the Christian life is a life of continual faith, that is, trusting God, believing God's word. It's a continual faith. It doesn't stop, folks, when you get saved. It continues the rest of your life. A continual repentance, a continual faith in God, trusting God every day of our life. It doesn't stop. It also is a life of continual thankfulness for the love of our Redeemer. Thank God he loves me. Thank God he saved me. Thank God he still forgives me every day of my life when I ask him to, you see. So we see here that the Christian life is a life of continual repentance and faith and also thankfulness for the love of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not deceive ourselves to excuse our sins, because the Bible says in verse 8 that we all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. So we see here, first of all, Christians are still sinners. First of all, the denial of our sins, what does it do? When we deny our sins, first of all, we deceive ourselves. Okay? We deceive ourselves. And secondly, we challenge God's honesty. Because God says we're still sinners, doesn't he? So we even challenge the honesty of God when we say we don't sin. That's every day, folks. I'm not talking about once a week. I'm talking about every day. Every day in our lives. We check up. We find we do something wrong. If we don't do it wrong, we think wrong. We do something wrong every day of our life. That's it. Why? Because we live in a world that is full of what? Sin. Therefore, it's going to hit us. It's going to grab us. It's going to get us somehow or another every day. Every day. So we need to be on guard for this. I'm thankful for these verses that we have here to look at here. We see here, God has given us his testimony to his continued sinfulness of the world by providing a sacrifice for you and I that will be needed. That is his son, Jesus Christ. Now, we notice in verse number 9, the way to continue pardon our sin, verse number 9, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that verse? I am. I thank God today for that verse. You know, we must confess our sins, folks. We must confess our sins. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank God for that. Thank God for that today. God is, we see here our duty. Confessing our sins and acknowledging our sins means delivered from our guilt. If we don't confess our sins, we're not going to be delivered from the guilt of our sin. And God has paid the penalty for our sins. He's paid it in full. But we as Christians, sometimes with sin in our life, we're going to feel guilty. We're going to feel bad, you see. He's gracious also who will forgive to the confessor all his sins and cleanse him from all the guilt of unrighteousness. That's God. That's the God we serve. We serve a God that loves us that much. How many times did Peter say he was to forgive his brothers? Seven times? What did Jesus say? Seven times 70? Well, same thing with God. I'm so glad that God forgives me over and over and over and over and over and over again because he loves me. Now, if I truly and honestly confess the sins, in other words, if I agree with God that my sin is wrong and I sincerely confess it, most likely I won't do it again. I won't become a habit of doing it, you see. But these things that creep up sometimes in our life that we're not aware of, or that we are aware of, sometimes is that way. So we see here the way to be pardoned as a believer is to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God today for that. I thank God today for that, that we have forgiveness of our sins. We see here in verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to make God a liar because I know he's not. So I'm not going to say I don't sin. I'm not going to say I don't sin. I'm going to say this, when I do sin, when I ask God to forgive me, he'll forgive me. I thank God for that. I thank God today for that, that promise that he's given us. So forgiveness is a what? Decision. Say it. Forgiveness is a decision. Okay, don't you forget that. Forgiveness is a decision. God invented decision. Okay? God invented forgiveness. There in Genesis chapter 3, when he forgave Adam and Eve, he invented forgiveness here. He also, he began by forgiving us. He began by forgiving us. God began forgiveness by forgiving us. Thank God for that today. We also see that he invites us to forgive one another. He invites us to forgive one another when something happens in our life. We also see in the Christian life, forgiveness should be a character. Forgiveness should be a character in the Christian life. It should be outstanding in our lives that we forgive, that we do forgive. So we see forgiveness is needed, forgiveness is possible, and also forgiveness is available. Thank God today for that. Thank God today that as we look at this and realize that God loves you, God loves me in spite of us. Now, the question is this. If God has forgiven our sins, why do we need to confess our sins? If God has forgiven my sins and God has forgiven your sins, Brother Sam, why do we need to confess our sins? There's a reason why. First of all, God tells us to, okay, in the Word of God. Amen? He tells us to forgive, ask him to forgive us our sins. But we see also, when we admit our sins and receive God's forgiveness, something takes place. When we admit our sins to God and receive his forgiveness, first of all, we are agreeing with God that our sin is sin. We agree with God that what I've done is wrong. Okay? We agree with God that I have done wrong and that with his help, I won't do it again. And with his help, I won't do it again. Now, that's true confession, folks. That's true confession. When we stumble or fall or whatever, and we ask God to forgive us of that sin and ask him to help us not do it again, that's being sorry for our sin, and that's true confession of our sins. Therefore, that's why we need to confess our sins. Number one. Then number two, when we confess our sins, We are ensuring ourselves, first of all, that we don't hide sin from God. And by the way, we can't, can we? We can't hide sin from God. But in confessing our sins, we're ensuring to ourselves that, hey, I'm not hiding anything from God that I know that's wrong. But if I don't confess my sins, I may be trying to hide things. I may be trying to hide things that God already knows. God already knows. And lastly, we see also, in admitting our sins and asking God's forgiveness here, we are recognizing, we're recognizing our tendency to sin. We're recognizing our tendency to sin in our lives and relying on His power to help us not to sin. Relying upon His power to help us not to sin. So that's why it's necessary, folks, to confess our sins. That's why it's necessary. First of all, we agree with God that we've done wrong, and we ask God to help us not to do it again, okay? Secondly, we see we are ensuring that we don't cover up sin in our life because God already knows it anyway. But we don't need to be covering up sin in our life. And then lastly, but not least, we recognize that our tendency to sin, and we need to rely upon His help not to sin. His help not to sin because we ask Him. If we don't ever ask God to forgive us, we're not relying upon Him to help us not sin, are we? But when we realize that we have sin, or we realize that we need to confess our sin, we're trusting God to help us with our sins. I thank God today for forgiveness. I thank God today that forgiveness is a what? A decision. It's a decision. And may God help me and God help you as we journey this life. We don't have any much longer, but as we journey this life, we're going to be faced with things in our life, times in our life, situations in our life that we're going to need to forgive. And may God help us to have the boldness, God help us to have the desire and see the need. See the need and see that it's available and ask God to forgive us. Father, we thank You today for loving us. We thank You for the Word of God that You've given us, Lord, today, that we might be able to share with one another. And God, realize, Lord, how much You love us. We're thankful, God, today for Your forgiving power, Your forgiving mercy and grace. God, I pray, Lord, today, as we journey this journey here in this world, that You would enable us, Lord, our lives characterize forgiveness. The world needs to see. The world needs to be forgiven. And God, help us to be what we ought to be. Bless Your people this week, Lord, as they go out through the world. Give them power. Give them love. Give us all, Lord, that we need to be what we ought to be. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless our preacher, the preaching of Your word. Lord, may it speak to our hearts and challenge us today. And God, I just pray there's one here lost, they might be saved. And again, Your people might be encouraged. Most of all, may You be honored and glorified. And all that's said and done today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.